sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Very special as football, as far as the NFL goes, is right around the corner. And college football is already here. Hard to believe. Summer somehow skated by, and skated is fitting because being up in New York, you know that ice and that snow may not be far away. But crazy. Summer was warm up in New York. And enjoyable, definitely hotter than I would expect for Central New York. But at the same time, now summer is coming to a close. It's about a month away that summer will be done, less than a month away that summer will officially be over. And football season is already here. You heard from every single coach of the ACC in my special wall-to-wall wake-up call ACC special. If you haven't heard that, then it's right here on WakeUpCallDT.com on the shows page. You can also get it on your Google Play Store or Apple Store application, SportsDT. That's S-P-O-R-T-S-D-T. The app is free right now on over 2,000 devices that aren't Mac products. And then on the Mac, of course, your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, iPod Touch, all of that. So make sure you get it as soon as possible. Well, it's free, SportsDT, on the Google Play Store and the Apple application. I thank everyone that's downloaded that and truly appreciate that. And also on iTunes, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the podcast, is there as well. So plenty of different ways to get involved, and very excited to be back with you. If you haven't heard yet, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora will now air every Monday and Friday right here on WakeUpCallDT.com around noontime. So right there on your lunch break, noon Eastern, for the people on the West Coast, you'll just be waking up. So while you get ready for work, people on the East Coast, it's while you're on your lunch break. And the great thing about it is, if for some reason you miss the show or have to pause it because you're going into work or you're driving or whatever it may be, if for some reason you can't listen to the show, that's all right. They are always here for you, archived for you, and that's the beauty of it. Because I've been on traditional radio and had the opportunity to talk with you, and I thank every single outlet that I've been on, ESPN 630, 1240, and 96.1 FM, ESPN 1260, The Score 1260, ESPN 1080. I thank each and every one of you for giving me the opportunity to come on, and also the radio station that I was on in Leesburg, Florida. I thank you for that as well. But at the same time, as we grow together, I've realized that you have a busy schedule. We're running around as Americans. We have stuff to do. And people in general around the world, you're busy. So the beauty of this is you can go back and listen to your favorite show, listen to a show that you missed, get back an interview, see if I was right on a prediction, get your help with fantasy football, go deep into Syracuse sports, look across conferences and see which teams are doing well and what interviews I've had, get exclusives with prospects and recruits, alum, former athletes that have a lot to say about what they used to do as their profession. So many different ways to get involved. Back on the field every week where Rob Drummond, who had the opportunity to play international football, professional football in America, and at Syracuse. Every single week, we're breaking down a lot of different topics. Of course, Syracuse, we look at the NFL. So a lot to be had. And I understand that with all of that information, you need time to look it up. So it's all there for you on WakeUpCallDT.com and the SportsDT app on your Apple Store and Google Play Store. And, of course, on iTunes, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. So plenty of ways to get involved and catch up if there's some things you need to get back to, and be right there when they're released. So Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, Mondays and Fridays, airing at noon Eastern time. Back on the Field airs on Thursdays, and so much more to come as you find out what CUSE means. C-U-S-E, the acronym. You're going to find out very quickly with Syracuse's first game being against Penn State this weekend. So you don't want to miss out on that. Today's show, a lot going on. The annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you, of course, as always, by Carvell DeWitt. And we will get into a coach that I think is being unfairly treated, and I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous. It continues on. So we're going to discuss what is going on with this coach, and it just how far things go, and how desperate some people look like they need a story so bad to drag something on that I really don't think was a problem at all. So we'll get into that with the annoying moment of the week. We'll go to Tweet of the Week, bringing that back. That'll be with you every single week, Tweet of the Week on Fridays. So get your tweets out to me. Follow me at CallDT. That's CallDT. And send me your best tweets. You can hashtag TOTW for Tweet of the Week. I can't take credit for that hashtag. That's from Mike Cathcart, a longtime listener of the show. So Mike has credit for coming up with that TOTW, but hashtag that with your Tweet of the Week, or just put your tweets out. I'll take a look at them, but you have to be following me for me to see what's going on there. So at CallDT, that's CallDT. I'll take a look at your tweets each week and pick my favorite one on Fridays, and then you get to be mentioned on the show, heard all across the country and internationally. So it gives you a little bit of a shameless plug, some love there for yourself. So make sure you get your tweets out, and you could be the person that I mention here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com and all of the other platforms. Also coming up today, exclusive interviews that I have with the American Athletic Conference, formerly the Big East, and a lot of the Conference USA, now merged together to form the American Athletic Conference, which features Central Florida, Cincinnati, which was one of the members left over from the Big East, UConn, also left over from the Big East, Houston, Louisville, left over from the Big East, but will be moving on to the ACC after this season, Memphis, Rutgers, that will be moving on to the Big Ten after this season, South Florida, that was in the Big East, Southern Methodist, and Temple, that had just recently joined the Big East and is now already in its second conference in two seasons. So the American Athletic Conference had the opportunity to sit down with newcomer Memphis Tigers Antonio Foster, offensive lineman, and Charles Harris, a linebacker. The Memphis Tigers coming over from Conference USA, this being their first season of competition in the American Athletic Conference, better known as just simply the American. You'll hear from Antonio Foster first, then his teammate Charles Harris. Then coming up after that, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. You'll hear from their quarterback Gary Nova. And Louisville Cardinals after that. Scarlet Knights leaving, Cardinals leaving as well after this season, as I stated. You'll hear from those that are here to end their careers, and that's linebacker Preston Brown and safety Hakeem Smith. You'll hear their collaborative interview coming up, along with their head coach Charlie Strong, and you'll also hear from UConn Huskies head coach Paul Pasqualoni, formerly of Syracuse. A lot of Syracuse fans still have love for Coach Pasqualoni. And we'll finish up with the American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko, who spent an extensive time with me, and I thank him for doing that. He's been on the show numerous times, and Mike always giving me the opportunity to sit down and speak with him about those questions that I have that can help you to understand what the American Athletic Conference is, where it's going, and just really who Mike Oresko is and how he's working to lead this conference to be one of the most successful conferences, and in his mind and his hopes, the most successful conference in the country. So you'll hear all of those exclusive interviews that you can't get anywhere else, and we'll start off with the annoying moment of the week. We're going to take a quick step aside here to hear from Carvel DeWitt, who proudly brings you the annoying moment of the week every single week. And you'll hear from Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, who brings your path to hope. And we'll also have that going on in today's show, Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, The Path to Hope. We'll be talking about what has been going on with my injury, how I'm feeling, what Carrion Daily can do for you, and so much more. Right after the break, annoying moment of the week, you get to hear this. And you know that's on from there.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves in how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. It is time for the annoying moment of the week, my opportunity to sound off every single week. The beauty of that, folks, the opportunity to tell you what I'm thinking, which I always do, but in an interesting way here with the annoying moment of the week. And this is where I draw the line. Rex Ryan, I've covered him since he started becoming the head coach of the New York Jets. When he had his first training camp, which was the first camp at SUNY Cortland, I was there. The next year, I was there. I have been there throughout this entire process with Rex Ryan as the head coach of the New York Jets. And this season, the question comes up, who's your quarterback? Who are you going to have? What do you think about this? What do you think about Mark interrupting Geno Smith, getting on him about concussion? Do you know it's a concussion? Well, why don't you know it's a concussion? Well, don't you think head coach should know it's a concussion? This man deals with so much scrutiny in a room. I think that people in the media forget that Rex Ryan is a human being. Rex Ryan has feelings. Rex Ryan is a head coach, first and foremost. He's not your interviewee first. He's a coach. You know what that means? It means if he's looking to protect his team, then he doesn't have to tell you who the starting quarterback is. He doesn't have to tell you what his decision is. And he's come under scrutiny this week because he decided to tell the media, gosh forbid, hey, I don't have to tell you. I don't have to answer your question. And I can answer your question however I want to because this is America. Now, he's been called all different kinds of things for this, that he's gone off, that he's irate, that he's going too far, that he loses control, that he gets testy. And to me, he didn't do any of those things. I'm surprised it took this long. I was waiting, being there at SUNY Cortland in the interview room with Rex Ryan, and I always sit right to his left. That when you're looking straight at him, so it would be the right on television. If you're looking straight at Rex Ryan on the television, right there on his right, that first seat, that's where I sit. I'm right there. And I'm waiting. Because every single press conference I went to, for the most part, people were yelling at him, interrupting him, challenging him. And I understand that there's going to be back and forth, that people are going to have differences of opinions, but I've always thought that a press conference is where you ask a question. You have the opportunity to ask a question to somebody. They can answer you however they want to. They could tell you, go pound salt. They can give you a 20-minute answer. They can give you 3 words. I've talked with, we're talking 300 sports figures, at least. And I've had people that give you 3-word answers. I've had people that give you long answers where they answer a bunch of the questions that you had on your mind that they didn't even know that you were going to ask, or maybe they thought you were, and they just keep going. I've had people that look like they want to do an interview and people that look like they don't. Hey, I'm done with practice. I'm tired. I'm sweaty. Whatever it may be. But I have the common respect with every single person I've talked to, hence why I continue to talk with them, that when I ask you a question, it may not be the answer that I want. It may not be the answer that I think is enough, like there's not a lot of information, so to speak. But at the same time, I understand that's the answer. That's the answer. When you're going around in your life and somebody asks you a question, let's say you're dating somebody, right? You're dating a guy, right? And so your mom comes home and she wants to talk to you about this guy that you're dating. And you don't want to tell her a lot because maybe you don't know if you're going to stick around with this guy. You've only talked to him for a couple days. So you don't say a lot, okay? Now, if you're in danger, yeah, you should say something. But that's a totally different story. In the case of, hey, I don't want to talk about it a lot. Or when people start a relationship, I know that when I would start dating a girl, I didn't want to talk about it a lot because I kind of learned to keep people out of that business. You know, you don't want all these people in your business because then they're all involved. Well, Rex Ryan, it could be the same type of thing. Guess what? I got a team to take care of. I don't want you all in my business. I don't want you all in here in my inner circle. I'm not close to you like that. And I understand that. I truly understand that. I would love the opportunity to sit down with Rex Ryan because I respect human beings. And I think if he sat down with me just one-on-one and not in that setting in the press conference where I've seen him before and talked with him before, that he would see that there's a difference, that he can just talk to me and not have to feel like he's going to get ridiculed. When I see it on television on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's so ridiculous. The coach said he doesn't have to answer your question the way that you want him to answer the question. He doesn't have to tell you who the starting quarterback is. Guess what? Scott Schaefer, he didn't name the starting quarterback for Syracuse. Is anybody screaming at him? Yelling at him? Beating him up saying, Scott Schaefer gets testy. Scott Schaefer irate. Scott Schaefer disrespects the media. Scott Schaefer doesn't know what he's doing. People aren't saying that. But he's doing the same thing. And so is Bill O'Brien of Penn State. And so is Dave Doran of NC State. They're not telling you who their quarterback is. Who cares? First and foremost, Rex Ryan is a head coach. First and foremost, he needs to prepare his team. First and foremost, he needs to worry about winning games. Not about what your story's going to be about. Not about if you get the audio you need for your show. That's not why Rex Ryan's at the press conference. He's at the press conference because he has to talk to the media, and he's going to give you his time. And I can honestly tell you that what you saw on television with people just yelling out to him, you're not answering the question. You're not doing this. He's not on trial. I feel like sometimes when he's standing up at the podium, he's one of the witnesses that just put his right hand on the Bible, and they're standing up there saying, answer the question, answer the question. And somebody's got to yell up objection, sustained, whatever's going on. I feel like this man is sitting on trial for what's going on. And maybe some Jets fans think he should sit on trial. Maybe they think he should be questioned for the decisions he makes, for keeping Mark Sanchez in for almost the entire game against the Jaguars, putting him in the fourth quarter against the Giants. If you want to talk about that, we could talk about that. I'm more than happy to entertain that, what I think about him putting his starting quarterback potentially in for such a long period of time in the preseason. We could talk about that. But what I don't want to hear about anymore is he's irate. He's out of his mind. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he responded that way. I can't believe that he waited that long to respond that way. Because I'll tell you, from being in the room, and I'm talking when we're sitting in that room in SUNY Cortland, there's like maybe 20 of us. So I can tell you, sitting in that close-knit room, if I was out of my seat and Rex was sitting in my seat, right? And I was standing up there at the podium. If I had people challenging me and my decisions and what I'm doing, you want to have a respectful conversation, we can have it. You want to yell at me, you want to push me, you want to tell me I'm not answering your question and get on me, I walk out. I don't need to be there, or I just won't answer your question. Because to me, it's ridiculous. This man is trying to win football games, and maybe, just maybe, he's not telling you who the quarterback is because there could be a lot of things. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe the health of Mark Sanchez. Maybe Geno Smith not being ready in his mind. There could be a lot of different factors. Even if Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith, completely 100% healthy, ready to go, he still could be thinking, I don't know which guy. Or he could be thinking, I know which guy. I knew which guy when you asked me 3 weeks ago, but I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to. There's no NFL rule that says I have to. So this is just my decision. And I think that Rex Ryan is constantly coming under scrutiny because of the people that are in the room screaming in his face. And he doesn't deserve it. Has he made the best decisions as a head coach? No. Has he gotten the credit for what he did in his first 2 years? I don't think so. Does he have to do something this year? Yes. If the Jets continue to lose, do I think he'll be a Jets head coach for long? No. But when I have to turn on my television and see the same footage of him standing sideways, back and forth, over and over, and people trying to look at this video and say, and they're critiquing the video, well, what did he mean when he did this? Well, if he turns to the side, is that disrespectful? Why didn't he just answer the question? You know what? He's a human being. If he didn't want to answer it, he doesn't have to. Rex Ryan, in this situation, at this time, I'm on your side in this fact. I'm surprised you didn't get upset sooner. Maybe you did and you just held it in. God bless you for it. I'm not saying that you should scream to them at the media. I'm not saying that you should stoop down to their level of some of the people in the media. But I do not fault you for not telling people information that maybe you don't want anybody else to know. Because as soon as you say it, it's going to be everywhere. And there's 31 other NFL teams. And there's a bunch of them that you're going to have to play within 17 weeks of football. 16 games that you have to play. 16 different teams. So I understand why you may not want to answer that question. I get that. Rex Ryan, in this case, I don't think you were wrong for what you did. That's the Annoying Moment of the Week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt. You can go to Carvel DeWitt on 4322 East Genesee Street, right in DeWitt, right at the end of Erie Boulevard, across from Tops. Carvel DeWitt is the place to go when you want ice cream. That flavor that I've had since being a child. You just go in there and you get the twist. It's just the way that they hook the top, that little curl, and have the twist. Just the way that it looks, the way that it tastes, it's just different. Carvel ice cream is just different. And at Carvel DeWitt, fresh, handmade, daily. Those cakes aren't sitting in there for months. And if you go and buy a Carvel cake at a store, you're not getting the same Carvel ice cream. It's different because they're shipped, because they're put into the store. They could be sitting there for weeks. When you go to Carvel DeWitt, you're getting fresh handmade cakes daily. The ones that are in there, that are in the freezers, are not sitting there for weeks and months on end. They are there for you. The designs are there for you. And just the overall experience of Carvel DeWitt is different. And of course, you can get your wake-up call Sunday there, the only place that has the wake-up call Sunday, and that is soft serve chocolate, vanilla, or a twist, whatever you're feeling that day. I wanted to leave it open to you. So chocolate, vanilla, or a twist is your base, topped off with cookie dough and caramel swirled all around it. You could pop on some sprinkles, whipped cream, a cherry, whatever you like, but that caramel and cookie dough flavor. I thank you all who had a rush on cookie dough and made Carvel DeWitt run out of cookie dough, which, from what I've heard from Jay Cartini, the way that he described it, that's not a normal thing that they just run out of cookie dough, and the Wake Up Call Sunday featuring cookie dough. So I thank my cookie dough fans out there. This Sunday is there for you. Cookie dough, caramel, chocolate, vanilla, or a twist, all put together in that Wake Up Call Sunday. The only place you can get it is Carvel DeWitt. And once again, 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. It's what happy tastes like. We'll take a quick step aside here. When we come back from the break, you'll hear from Carvel DeWitt, Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy on the break. And then when we swing back around, it'll be Tweet of the Week, where I pick my favorite tweet, and maybe it'll have something to do with Miley Cyrus. I don't know. Some people get creative. So I can't pick my own. I thought one of mine was pretty creative, but you know, I have this rule that I can't pick my own thing. So maybe if you retweet it and send it back to me, I thought I was pretty creative when it came to Miley Cyrus. But we'll take a step aside and you'll hear the Tweet of the Week. Find out if you're the winner right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on wakeupcalldt.com in just a minute.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. It is now time for Tweet of the Week, where I have chosen two. I have two. One of them, someone that follows me. The other one, I had to. It's something to do with Miley Cyrus that has a sports twist to it and actually goes off of something that I was saying. So in some strange way, I get to involve myself in Tweet of the Week. I had to this week. I had to. Come on. Miley Cyrus, I'm not going to talk about it with you. Come on. You know this show is where sports meets life, and that was one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in my life. So now it is time to find out who are the two winners of Tweet of the Week.
He rocks in the tweets up all day long. Happy Marvin has seen his song. After the battle on Jaber's Street. Happy Marvin go tweet, tweet, tweet.
I'm telling you, I can't get enough of that song. I can't. I was singing it. I was singing it while you were listening to it. So you'll hear me sing soon enough, folks. Don't you worry about that. Some people, see, people don't know this. You know me for my sports, but my first passion in my life of anything that I've ever wanted to do was singing. So, just so you know, been singing since I could speak pretty much. I think since I was like 3 years old or something like that, maybe earlier. But I remember singing to my grandparents, and you will hear me, you'll hear me soon enough. Don't you worry about it. So, maybe it'll be to that song. Maybe I'll just cut out the original version and I'll put my own singing on tweeting. We'll talk about that. We'll see. Maybe that'll happen. Who knows? But Tweet of the Week for this week has to be. Now, the first one, like I said, in connection with my Twitter, at CallDT, that's at C-A-L-L-D-T. Follow me on there, folks. You get your information, NFL, NBA, NCAA, of course, Syracuse, American Athletic Conference, ACC, so much. Just get on there, follow me there, Syracuse Silver Knights. And, of course, get, you know, anytime I do giveaways on Twitter and Facebook, as well as events at Carvel DeWitt, what we did at Toby Keith's, everything else coming up, new sponsorships, new ways to get involved, new companies that I present to you that I think are worth your time to go there and utilize their services. So make sure you're on Twitter at CallDT. That's at C-A-L-L-D-T. Always putting information up there. And you become the first person that knows when a show goes up, an exclusive interview, back on the field. If I have a story that's going up, 24/7 talk forum on wakeupcalldt.com. If I put something there that's exclusive insider information, you don't want to miss out on that. So make sure that you are on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, like the page, and on Twitter at CallDT. That's at C-A-L-L-D-T, so you don't miss a moment of any of the information that I send out. The winner connected to at CallDT for Tweet of the Week this week, because it was an honor to receive this, is from none other than, and he's been on the show plenty of times, Syracuse Orange freshman defensive lineman Isaiah Johnson, better known and what he likes to be called, Zeke. Isaiah Johnson has a new Twitter handle at Isaiah_Cuse91. That's at I-S-A @IAAH_Cuse and then the number 91. He sent to me, new Twitter, need a shout out. He'd only put out two tweets when he switched over, and one of them was to me, need a shout out. And so, Isaiah, I truly appreciate your belief in me and your belief in what I do in coming to me as an avenue to build your support and to tell people about your new Twitter account. It means so much that you would come to me when you wanted to get the information out there, believing that I can provide for you a service in getting out to people. So to Zeke, thank you for that, sir. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, which you definitely should, for all the Syracuse fans out there and for fans of college football in general and for just good people, because he truly is a good person, very close with his dad, talks about God in his conversations, always big on faith, brings it up himself. And I respect people for doing something like that. Just truly beautiful. And you can see my latest interview with Isaiah Zeke Johnson on the youtube.com/wakeupcalldt channel. Over 36,000 hits, and you could be the next one. So make sure you get on there. Once again, if you want to follow Isaiah Johnson on Twitter, it's @ISAIAH_Cuse91. @ISAIAH_Cuse, the number 91. And he is the winner of the tweet of the week for my connections to those of you in the community. And then I had to pick this one that was connected to the conversation on Miley Cyrus. If you didn't see Miley Cyrus in her performance on the VMAs, then if you woke up in the morning and you watched any single channel on television outside of the Disney Channel, which was showing Hannah Montana, most, you know, I would think to get people to reminisce about when she didn't lose her mind, that wherever you went, you were going to see this video, pictures, just this strange occurrence of Miley Cyrus, who decided to make herself look like she had horns and put on some type of rubber band around her chest and her lower region, and then grab this prop that I will never look at the same way again. And that is the foam finger. A lot of you sports fans, you have one in your house. Your grandfather had one. Your dad had one. Your mom. You have one. I have one. Very old foam finger. I got it when I was a little kid. And I can honestly say that I never did with my foam finger what Miley Cyrus did. I never thought about doing anything with my foam finger like Miley Cyrus did. I thought that it was, you know, something that you put on at the game, cheer on your favorite team, favorite player. You know, just a very harmless, hey, I'm here, I'm a fan, love my team. Not, hey, I'm here, I'm a little bit okay with doing things in public that should not be done in public, or some cases not even behind closed doors, and I'm going to rub up on this foam finger. So, for those of you that are coming out to the Carrier Dome, which I will be covering games and, you know, also around the country as I travel to cover games, if you have a foam finger, I know that the temptation might be there to joke around, but for me to be able to hold on to the food that I possess in my body at the time of seeing you, Just put the foam finger up in the air and show some love. None of that loving yourself down below. That doesn't need to be there. And the tweet that connected to the show and Miley Cyrus today here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com was the fact of this story that was tagged of Miley Cyrus having the foam finger and the inventor of the foam finger, Steve Kemmelaar, having his statement on what he had to say. This is what Steve had to say about knowing what Miley Cyrus did with his wonderful foam finger. He said, I would say that it certainly misrepresented its intent to encourage team support. She took an honorable icon that is seen in sporting venues everywhere and degraded it. Fortunately, the foam finger has been around long enough that it will survive this incident. End quote. Look at that. And then he also went on to say, quote, as for Miley Cyrus, let's hope she can outlive this event and also survive. So kind of interesting that he made that statement. Like, he said, listen, my foam finger is going to survive this. It's going to make it through. As far as Miley Cyrus, let's hope that she makes it through this. I'm surprised that I was able to make it through seeing the performance without physically getting sick. It was crazy. I mean, what is that? You know, I've never been to a strip club. I respect women, so I won't go. And that's the truth. Seriously, hand to God, I promise you, never been, and that's why I don't go. Miley Cyrus, to me, even though I've never been in the stripper world, I think that strippers have like more respect for themselves than whatever that was. And just the nasty. But you know how I am on this show and in life in general. Like I said, if you meet me on the street, I'll give you the same opinion I gave you on the show. I don't take an opinion just to piss you off. I don't take an opinion to get a rise out of you and get you to respond. Miley Cyrus tries to get rises out of people, but that's a different story. So I'm here telling you exactly how I feel in my own life, right here on the show, that I care about kids. I care about the future of this planet. And not just America, but the future in general of everybody living on this planet. And I see, you know, little kids in my family, kids that you know, I grew up, that are bigger now, that are 18 now, that I used to give their bottle to when they were little babies. And I know that they're seeing stuff like this. And to me, it's wrong. It's not what we need in our culture. It's raunchy. It's dirty. It's gross. And then they have Miley Cyrus, after the fact, go on Twitter and say, hey, guys, guess what? 300,000 people talking about me. Like, that's right. That's a fact. And it's like, that's when you know someone's lost control, even a little bit, when they don't care what you're saying. They just care that you're saying something about them. That's when you know that somebody must be a little bit alone or not have enough self-worth to be happy that people are talking about them, even though a lot of people are calling you a whore, raunchy, disgusting, disrespectful, out of line. So Justin Timberlake, he saved it. I'm man enough to say it. He made it happen. 20 minutes, great. And I know that as soon as the VMAs are done, they're re-shown on MTV, and they edit things out. I would have just edited out the entire Miley Cyrus performance, but there's a belief inside of my brain that MTV, in some way, shape, or form, is excited that she did this because it's publicity for them. Once again, infamous, not being famous, just being in the media, and goes along with the Jets, too, with certain moves that were made that I feel like the Jets just want to be on the newspaper. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. They're not talking about wins. So it's the same type of thing to me, is that MTV in some way, shape, or form enjoys this. And like I had written out on my Twitter account at CallDT, you have to think of the source. My dad always told me, consider the source. And Miley Cyrus is doing this disgusting, disrespectful dancing, which was probably practiced beforehand, and MTV could have had an opportunity to say, hey, that's not going to happen here. But this happens, and MTV, one of their main shows is Teen Mom, and one of the teen moms decided, not only did I have a teenage pregnancy, but I'm going to get a boob job and pose for Playboy to continue to be a positive image for my child. So this is why I care so much. This is why what I do is where sports meets life, because sometimes it's not a win or a loss, but it's something that we need to talk about. And I would love to get your opinion on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt and on Twitter at CallDT on what you thought about Miley Cyrus's performance, because not only did I want to vomit, but you kind of want to cry for the youth of today, because you hope that they don't see things like that. So Miley Cyrus is involved in the tweet of the week this week, not because of anything good she did, but because of the foam finger. I love the foam finger. Where is the love for the foam finger? Who asked him if he was okay with this? Did he enjoy that moment? Probably not. He smells like rubber now. Totally disrespected. He was bent in all different ways, touching on Robin Thicke. He's not proud of that. He's like, you know what? I'm missing out on a game right now. My finger's supposed to be up cheering somebody on right now. Instead, I'm down here, and now I feel uncomfortable, and I need a shower, but you can't give me one because I'm foam, and it doesn't work out well for me if you get me wet. So, just saying. I'm just saying. That is the tweet of the week here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. We'll take another quick step aside. You'll hear from Carvel DeWitt, Carrier Daily Physical Therapy again, and then we're right back into it, and you get all those exclusive interviews we talked about in the American Athletic Conference, where I sat down one-on-one with these gentlemen connected to the American Athletic Conference. First and foremost, you will hear from the newcomer Memphis Tigers to the American Athletic Conference, formerly the Big East. You'll hear from Antonio Foster first, the offensive lineman who not only talks to me about football, but he has a passion for something that connects to what I just unveiled to you here on the show today, and something I never expected to hear from an offensive lineman or a football player in general. You'll hear that from Antonio Foster right after the break on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com. As promised, it's time for the American Athletic Conference. That rhymed. Credit to Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham as a Child. Thank you, Grandma, for reading that to me. Up first, Antonio Foster with a very special story, because we talk about football, as I said before the break, but we also get into another passion of Antonio Foster's that I never expected to hear, but very, very much appreciate that I have, and help me become even closer to this player and learn more about him and bring you this exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. Antonio Foster, offensive lineman of the Memphis Tigers, now moving from the Conference USA into the American Athletic Conference, and this is my conversation with Antonio Foster. First and foremost, speaking on Antonio Foster's experience of going to Rhode Island and being at the American Athletic Conference Media Days and what that was like for him.
I enjoyed it. Being around other teams, being in the Big East, talking to players and coaches, like they're like open, they're welcoming us with open arms. So I'm excited to be in this conference.
When you look at the competition, you know, some of the teams that are coming in and opportunities to go up against them, is it better for you to have some teams of familiarity coming from Conference USA?
Definitely. I only played two. Well, this is my second year here, so last year was new teams for me too. So I don't really look at that, so I can't really answer that question.
But you talked about the fact that Louisville is a team that, you know, Memphis has a rivalry with. Are you excited to have that this season? Because after this season, they'll be out in the ACC. So is that a game to look forward to?
That is a game that I'm definitely look forward to. Them beating Florida last year, I just want to see where we're at. Definitely want to play them. We're definitely going to compete and not going to back down. So.
Your ability to play last season, what did you learn from last season that you could take into this season? You know, now that you got your feet wet, what are you taking from that center position to move forward?
It was mostly watching film. I didn't really watch film last year until the end. It really shows the defense. If you really watch film well, you can see the defense when they're going to blitz or when they're going to cover. So that's what I'm going to take into this season, just really watching film and preparation.
The rest of your line, as far as you know, leadership, are there a lot of veterans on there for you, or is it more of you know, a newer staff? Like you said, you're early in your experience. How's the rest of the experience?
It's two other offensive linemen that's more experienced than me, but I'm kind of like learning from them, off of them being in Memphis, but they're learning from me on the football aspect.
And leave it to me to bring them back down. You know,
I enjoy being on the offensive line. It's like we got a bunch of vocal leaders, so it like makes us like the center of the offense.
Yeah,
makes us like the offense is going to go as far as we go. So,
and how is the line's relationship? What are you guys doing to really you know build that? Because you and I talked off the air before about how important it is to have that line that, you know, from guy one to guy five, that you're all, you know, pretty much on that same level as far as what you're able to do protecting and also moving the ball.
Well, we go out to eat every Wednesday. Go to Bible study every Wednesday. We try to be together on everything we do. If it's defensive lineman messing with the offensive lineman, we all there, like, try to build chemistry.
And then as far as, you know, running backs, you and I had spoken about the fact that an offensive line can make an average guy look good.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys at for Memphis right now as far as, you know, their ability in the backfield? Are there guys that stick out to you that you think are strong?
Oh, we got two guys, Brandon Hayes and Zy Starr. Like, they're both outstanding players. Last year, actually, Brandon Hayes made us look good, so it's fun to watch those guys. I know they're going to do big things this year.
And then as far as your quarterback, what can you say on him?
He's a good player on and off the field. He's like they talked about it earlier. Like he had played for a cancer patient. Like he's a piano. So he's really a good example of a great leader.
And what do you take from that leadership, like you said, even off the field? What is he helping you to not just be a good football player, but also to, you know, build yourself as a person because of those things?
Definitely. Me and Jacob are very cool. Like, we hang out. He brought me he brought me to the cancer. Like, I forgot what it's called. How to get back with you with that, but he's make me like enjoy life and just being myself. Cause I'm a football player, so it's like I'm an offensive lineman, so I have to be this tough guy. But all the field is like make me be myself and like open, and this is make me grow as a man, really.
And what does that mean to you that you have a guy on your team that, I mean, you obviously spend so much time with him, you're on the field with him, you're protecting him. What does it mean to you to be able to be yourself and to really feel like you have a friend out there where you can just hang out and not have to be the tough guy, not have to be, you know, somebody that's going out on that field with that mentality, but you can relax a little bit too?
That's actually fine. It's actually relaxing. I stress about a lot, so it's good to have somebody that I can just be cool with, just sit back and chill. He plays piano. I sing a little. Not a lot, but a little. So,
what kind of music?
Any kind of music. I love music. So
you're an offensive guy, so you sort of.
I'll sing anything. I'll probably be singing Adele and you know what I'm saying?
And how long have you been doing this? Is it something like your whole life?
I had one at Georgia Tech my freshman year. I had opened up then because my offensive line listened to country. And then my brother started listening to country, so I started listening to country.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend listened to pop. So it's kind of like being a ride, you know, with music. And I played piano when I was little at church, so I've been around music all my life.
So who are some of the inspirations for you, and who are some of the musicians or singers that you enjoy the most? I mean, if you were going to pop a CD in your car, who would it be right now?
That's a good question.
I should say they're on your iPod in the way that we live today. But.
Probably Boyz II Men, but I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. I enjoy watching him perform. Not so much like listen to him, but I enjoy watching him.
You mentioned Boyz II Men, and I'll admit this. You know, as a kid, that was the first group that I, the first tape that I bought at the time, and one of my favorite groups of all time. What do you like about Boyz II Men? Is it just because it's got that soul in the R&B?
Yeah, it's soothing, man. It's soothing for the soul. I ain't no lover boy, but when I do have a girl, Boyz II Men come in handy. Like they say everything that you're thinking. If you want to break up with a girl, y'all going through some stuff. Like it's songs for everything you're going through in a relationship. So
you just pop in the car and if you want to have a conversation, you just turn on that track on the CD and let them have the conversation.
Definitely.
Now, did you ever get a chance to see Michael Jackson perform growing up, or was it more just watching on TV?
Just watching on TV, hearing them from my dad and mom, giving him credit and saying he can dance and all this. So it's like I grew up just being a fan. I used to watch the Jackson, Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch that. I was like, I've just been a fan.
So if you have an opportunity before gaming and you got the buds in your ears, you're listening to a song to get you ready, what song is getting you ready? Is it a soothing, relaxing song as opposed to like a hyped up song, or is there a different song that you listen to when you're going out to a game?
I like to listen to slow music.
Slow music?
Yeah, like anything from, I don't listen to Jodeci, but I listen to Boyz II Men. Just stuff to calm me down because my nerves be like going everywhere. So it's just, I listen to songs to calm me down, not no hype song. Because I'd be to knock myself out before the game. So
you actually like to soothe and relax before a game as opposed to what you normally hear, which is the pump up thing.
Yeah.
And does it help you calm down when you're on the field?
It definitely does. I come on the field, relax, calm, and collect. So it definitely helps.
Thank you.
And last thing I want to ask you is, looking at this season, what are you expecting of yourself, you know, as you grow, as you learn? What do you really want to be able to do, you know, moving forward in the pass rush? You know, like making sure you're blocking up against that, protecting your quarterback. I mean, what do you have to say about that and the run game, too, about your expectations of yourself?
Yeah, how are you?
I just want to play every game to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Every game be, like, better than the last. Just want to grow as a football player. I mean, I've been the underdog, so I've been through a lot. And I just want to, you know, shock the world.
And what's some of that stuff that you've gone through? What's some of the adversity that you've had to go through?
In my life, I went to Georgia Tech out of high school. Won an ACC championship with them. Left there because of grades. went to JUCO, played there for 2 years, then came to Memphis. So it was a long journey for me in my life. So I'm definitely trying to make something of it, not just go through all that and have nothing rewarded. So I'm trying to.
How'd you push yourself through that? Because, like you said, you know, you have to leave because of grades, go to junior college, and then find your way back into the top level of football as far as, you know, this division.
So yeah, I think
how hard was that for you to go through that? I mean, how do you feel you responded to that adversity? Because you're here now. But was it difficult getting here?
It was definitely difficult. It was nice that I felt like I didn't want to, like, play football. I thought I was just going to, you know, take on being a pharmacist. But it was family support.
Yeah, right.
And God. No, I have a strong belief in God. And I believe that He got me through it. It was just family pushing me. You know, they've been supportive and making sure I had everything, I did everything. And that's the main thing.
When you see where you are right now, are you happy with the person that you are moving forward for where you got to?
Yeah, because I done came a long way. How I used to be, when I see the freshmen, it's like they're what I used to be. So it's like it's soothing to see that I'm made it. And like in my head, I don't know where I wanted to be than where I was.
It'll be interesting to see.
How do you help them out when you see them? You know, when you see the freshmen coming in, do you try to help them out?
I definitely do that. They call me old head, but I try to help them out as much as I can. I get them life quotes.
First of all, folks,
some of them listen. You can tell the people that listen. Some of them just really just going to live the freshman life, freshman college life. You know, it's two lives, freshman life and college life.
Yeah.
So they're going to live it. I'm going to let them live it. You know, they'll learn on their own.
Yeah, so it's important for you to be a leader moving forward, not just help yourself, but to help them too.
Yeah. It's definitely important to lead. To show them how to lead. You know, they're going to have to lead one day. So it's definitely, I've definitely been trying to show them how to lead. And hopefully they're taking some notes.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time and not just talking about football, but talking about life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Once again, Antonio Foster, offensive lineman of the Memphis Tigers, giving his story, very interesting story, on what he had to say on his connection with football, where he's come from, how he's trying to be a mentor, and his passion for music. His teammate is also someone I sat down with, Charles Harris, a linebacker for the Memphis Tigers, and asked him that same question to start off, what the experience of being in Rhode Island was like for him at the American Athletic Conference football media days, and so much more. So listen into that first and everything that Charles Harris had to say.
I guess they responded well, you know, just, I've had a good time up here, you know, good experience. I've talked to a lot of players, you know, seem cool, you know, everyone seems cool, man. It's just been a good experience so far, you know, actually got my first taste at lobster, you know, never had lobster before, and it's just seeing a different part of the country you never get to see, especially not in the South.
What's it like for you to have this experience? I mean, do you feel that it brings you closer to, you know, like a teammate or coach? You know, I mean, how do you feel this experience makes you? Because you guys have to travel together. You have to come up here and experience this together. Does that help you out at all?
Yeah, without that, it does make us closer. You know, just I guess it kind of helps us see a different side of coach, you know, more relaxed, chill side instead of the, you know, fired up. Coach is always ready to go, to always focus coach. You know, he still has that mindset of being focused, but, you know, we just get to see a more loose side of him. Not loose, but just relaxed.
And have you learned anything new from your coach because of this experience that you've had? I mean, is there anything you didn't know before that you know now because there's more of a relaxed atmosphere?
I mean, pretty much no, man. He's a straight shooter, man. What you see is what you get, you know. He tells you how it is, and what he's always told us is what I've seen here, man. You know, just everything that he says, everything that he does, you know, just comes to light. So,
yeah. As far as moving forward for you, what are you thinking about for this season? I mean, you have some opponents that are coming with you from Conference USA, and then you have new opponents that you haven't faced before. So what's that experience like for you to kind of put that all together, that you're going to have some known and then you're going to have some unknown?
Yes, it's always good to go back and play some of the teams we've always played, because we actually have game experience against them. You know, it's just kind of a revenge standpoint if you didn't get that win. But it's also good to play some of the newer opponents. Maybe not new, but just some opponents we haven't played in a while, because I actually grew up a Memphis fan, being from the area, so I remember Cincinnati and Louisville being big rivals of Memphis back in the D'Angelo Williams era. So it's actually going to be a fun game, actually going against those guys. Just actually being in the game this time instead of watching Memphis play against them.
Looking at the game against Louisville, you talked about a big rivalry with Louisville when we had spoken before. Is that game the one that circled on your calendar? Is it Cincinnati and Louisville, or is it more Louisville because of a long-standing rivalry?
I wouldn't necessarily say either game is circled at this standpoint, because we've just been focused on Duke right now. But, you know, as we inch closer to those games, you know, I could I like both teams. You know, I probably say I'd circle both games just because of the way I grew up and the way I remember Memphis playing against those guys, and it just being a big game each and every time we played. And even from a basketball standpoint, it's always a big game anytime Memphis plays Cincinnati, Louisville. So the people in Memphis really enjoy the competition.
You being a homegrown talent, so to speak, did you always envision yourself going to Memphis, or did that just kind of work out that way that you ended up there?
I wouldn't say I always envisioned myself going to Memphis, but I did always grow up a Memphis fan. You know, I was I'm a hometown guy. I'm a Grizzly fan, Tennessee Titan fan. You know, anything that has to do with my hometown or my home city, you know, that's what I'm about. And I didn't always envision myself being a Memphis Tiger, but it worked out that way. And man, this best decision I made so far, man.
Being at that middle linebacker position, we talked about how that's the quarterback of the defense. How have you grown in that position? You know, what did you expect of yourself when you started there, and do you feel like you're on your way to meeting those expectations?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, when I first started there, I really didn't know what to expect, you know. Coming from a high school, we maybe had 7 or 8 calls that we ran, and you know, it was just pretty simple stuff. And coming in, you know, they were throwing the playbook at me, telling me, you know, I need to know this and that. Not only did I need to know, I need to know what everyone else around me was doing, because I had to allocate the information to everyone else. So that was a big thing for me, and I'm happy I did that so far. I mean, it's been a great decision for me. I enjoy playing Mike linebacker. You get a lot more action in there, so you don't get bored. And I can say I like the responsibility of the information coming through me first and me relaying the information to the rest of the team. You know, I enjoy that responsibility.
When you have the defensive line in front of you, your linebackers to your sides, the secondary behind you, how difficult is it? You know, have you ever had trouble making sure that you're getting that information? If you see a switch, if you see a movement, if there's an audible, are you able to get out to everybody when you need to, or do you think that there's some difficulty there if you're playing in a loud type of atmosphere, you're on the road, something like that? I mean, have you seen a change in being able to get that information out?
Yeah, I could say, you know, there were some points last season where it was difficult to allocate all the information, but as the season grew old and towards the end of the season, man, it was just more natural, more flowing, you know. Everyone knew what to expect on certain downs and certain distances, so we kind of knew what to expect. So I didn't have to work as hard, but I always wanted to make sure that everyone knew what they were doing.
Is there anybody that you try to like in your game too? Anybody that you watch growing up that you think at that Mike position did things well? You know, be it a pro, be it somebody that came out of Tennessee or nationally in general. Is there anybody that you try to mirror your game as, or at least take something from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up, you know, everyone always watched Ray Lewis, and I know a lot of people saying like they like Pat Willis is like one of the better Mike linebackers in the game. But a guy that I've actually taken a liking to this offseason, been watching a lot of film on, is Luke Kuechly at Carolina. I just enjoy the way he plays the game. You know, I like the way he makes plays, and I like I just something about him. Just something about him that I like. You know, I enjoy watching him play.
You and I have talked before about getting hit. You know, you're obviously out there. This is a contact sport. You're going to go after the ball in your position. You're right there in the thick of things, in the middle of it. Taking that first hit and knowing that, you know, like, this is the hardest hit you're going to hit, so you keep going from there and you're not going to feel it as much anymore, so to speak. That first hit for you, what was that? Do you remember that hit that really shocked you more than anything else? Was there a certain hit that you remember in your history that was just like, wow, that's the worst, now I can go forward?
Yeah, without a doubt, man. Like I told you previously, man, it happened in high school, man. My freshman year, man, I had to make a tackle. And I don't remember what happened, but I just remember waking up on the ground like 10 yards originally from where I started, just out of breath. And the guy knocked the wind out of me. I think he bruised a couple ribs or whatever. But, yeah, my coaches, they just told me, they were like, yeah, man, that's the hardest you ever get hit in your life, man. So now that you got that out the way, you know, you can just play football. And they haven't lied to me since. But since that point, you know, I can't say I've kept my head on the swivel a lot often, though. No.
When you're out there and you have the passing game and the rushing game going on, is there one that you're more comfortable with covering going up against? I mean, is there one that you feel is your better suit that, you know, hey, when a back comes through, I'm better at that than I am against reading a pass? Or are you pretty even between the two?
Yeah, I'm even between the two. Our coach does a great job of just making sure we know our run responsibilities and we are comfortable in passing situations, you know. All our linebackers are able to drop back in coverage and play with the best of them. You know, we can make plays in the passing game as well as come up and make plays in the run game. So it just becomes natural after you work at it so often. You know, it just becomes a natural feeling to just move and just anticipate what the offense is going to do.
When you have the linebackers at your size, who are those guys that you really think are going to help you out this season? I mean, when you look at the talent that's got to kind of flank you and then protect you, who are those guys?
Without a doubt, from a linebacker standpoint, say Anthony Brown as well as Brontarius Jakes or Tank Jakes, whichever you want to call it. You know, just my Buffaloes play well. You know, they really split the role and they both make like outstanding plays. Without them, I wouldn't know what to do. And the guy who's actually playing Mike with me this season, Leonard Pegues. No, he was a freshman last year, but he's stepping up to the role. And he's did a great job on defense, really strong, physical, fast cat. You know, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play this year, you know. I know he's going to be able to step up to the role, handle the defense when I'm not in the game, so.
When you talk about that, being not in the game and having somebody step up, is it more of this rotation type of defense with Memphis that they want to have that linebacker core, have guys come in and out as opposed to being there for every down?
Yeah, without a doubt. Our linebacker coach does a great job of just rotating backers in and out, you know. It's not the fact that he doesn't think that we can handle certain situations. It's just the fact that he knows us better than we know ourselves sometimes, and he knows what player can make this play and what player can make that play. And he knows sometimes when this player gets a little windy, his tendencies. And this is a tendency that could hurt our team on a certain down. He'll just go ahead and get that player out and get the next player in. So he does a great job just rotating us. We man, honestly, I wouldn't even like to say, like, we have starters with our linebacker. Well, I just like to say, like, our ones, like, we basically have four starters, man, because we just rotate so much.
And then getting off the field a little bit, what do you like to do when you step away, man? Talk to one of your teammates talking about, you know, listening to music and kind of, you know, playing piano, singing, different things. What do you like to do when you get a chance to step away from football? Is there something that's a hobby of yours or something that you grew up doing that you like?
A hobby of mine, man. I just always grew up playing sports, you know. So anytime I can get a free chance, you know, just go play some basketball. I like to, but you know, the coaches really like that. You know, they try to tell us to shy away from the basketball court. So I just make sure I'm, anytime I'm just doing anything athletic related that's not football, I'm always extra careful of who I'm playing with and they understand my situation or whatever. But, yeah, man, I just always been an athletic cat, so you know, I just like to do things that's like play ball, go swimming, go running, man, just whatever, man. It's just me. I'm kind of an active guy. I've never really had a talent outside of being athletic.
And that's something that I was always interested in the fact that, you know, like a lot of the guys that play a certain sport or women that play a certain sport, you want to play something else, you have an interest in something else. In your case, like you said, you want to go out and you want to play basketball. Do you kind of have to go halfway or, you know, have just more of a, you know, I mean, how does that conversation work where it's like, hey, guys, you know what, I'm playing the highest division in football, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to shoot a little bit, I'm going to play a little bit of defense, but I can't have a lot of contact? Or, I mean, how does that work out for you? Because I've always wondered that. A lot of injuries that happen to players, no matter where they play, is usually in a different sport away from the game that they play.
Yeah, well, I don't know how it is at other schools, but like the, I wouldn't say it's the intramural league, but like just the guys that play in the intramural league, that is their Division I sport, and that's like their next level after high school. So they take it like really seriously. So I just realize that if I take my sports serious, so I know how I react, you know, in certain situations, and I know that's how they're gonna react, even though it's just, you know, pick up basketball. So I just make sure that I'm always playing with a teammate, someone who's actually in my same position, so they understand that we can't, you know, if I'm going to the hole and I have obviously, if, you know, they'll just go ahead and let me make it, you know, instead of hacking me down from behind, you know, bring me down on my ankle wrong. As opposed to if I play with another guy who doesn't know my situation, who's just in the rec playing for no giggles.
Yeah.
You know, he might just go all out, and, you know, if he gets hurt, he has nothing to lose. You know, maybe he's out the rec, the gym for like a month, maybe. But if I get hurt, you know, I'm taking away from my team, most importantly, and then I'm taking, you know, time off the field, and I'm in the training room trying to get better and stuff. So I just always like to make sure if I'm doing anything like that, I'm playing with my teammates.
Do you have a vision that you want to play in the NFL? I mean, do you want to go to the next level with this? Because you said you've always been an athlete. Is that it for you? Is that where you want to be?
I mean, without a doubt, man. At this point in life, you know, at this level of competition, once you do so much, it's like you want a reward for it. And playing in the NFL will be great, without a doubt. And if I had an opportunity, I'd definitely look forward to doing that. But
what are we convening? What are we
I wouldn't say that's my only goal. You know, I try to keep my grades up and score. I try to pay attention. Try my best to pay attention in class, so I understand. Because I understand that the NFL is a forever, and I have to do something after that. So,
is there a team that you? I know you're a Titans fan. Is there a team that you wouldn't want to play for secretively? I mean, I know if you got an opportunity, you take it. But is there a team where you're like, oh man, please don't be this team?
You know, I was never a Dallas Cowboy fan, but if Dallas decided to pick me up, man, I'm all in, man. So I can say that might be the only team, but if they pick me up, I'm not even worried about it.
Could you put that star on and compete?
Yeah, without a doubt, every day.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Once again, Charles Harris from the Memphis Tigers in the American Athletic Conference. His teammate before that, Antonio Foster, offensive lineman for the Memphis Tigers. And coming up right now is a man who is standing under center in the American Athletic Conference for now. Gary Nova, the quarterback of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who are playing their final season in the American Athletic Conference, which used to be the Big East before going over into Big Ten competition. This is what Gary Nova had to say when looking at the fact that he was in the Big East, now he's in the American Athletic Conference. If he ever thought in his collegiate career that something like this would happen, if he expected this to happen during his time at Rutgers.
I didn't expect anything, but, you know, it happened. Just got to go along with it. I think it's pretty cool to be a part of a new conference. And obviously we're going to the Big Ten, only going to be 1 year in here. But we're going to try to leave our mark and win a championship and go to the BCS bowl game.
Are you happy with how you left the Big East? I mean, obviously you did well coming toward the end there. And I know that there's a game that you want to get back with Louisville. But, you know, when you say goodbye to the Big East and you know that that's no more in history, are you confident that you left it the way you wanted to?
I think we did a good job. We won the first championship in school history, so I think that's something to be pretty proud of. But you know, like I said, it's a fresh start, a new beginning in this conference, and we're looking forward to it.
As far as you at the quarterback position, what have you learned about this team that you're going to take with you this season? Because obviously you go through growing pains and you learn. So what were you doing wrong, so to speak, before that you wanted to work on that you feel like now, you know what, I got this, I'm better here?
Yeah, I think I just learned a lot of just how to be an overall complete quarterback and how to just go about a full college season. You learn every day, and you know, you're going to face obstacles that you learn from, and just looking forward to starting this year.
You got a guy in Brandon Coleman at wide receiver that's pretty strong talent.
Dude.
How's your relationship with him, you know, off the field, not just on the field? Because obviously, quarterback receiver, you got to be close.
Yeah, it's really good. We're always hanging around each other. The whole receiving crew, you know, we go to the movies, hang out around campus, walk around. We're going to each other's houses, watching movies, stuff like that. So just always laughing and just trying to always be on the same page with those guys.
When you look at the talent that you have on this team, where do you see yourself? I mean, you're the quarterback, you're the leader of the offense.
Yeah.
Where do you see this team this year?
I think we could win the championship. I think we got the talent to win this conference and go to the BCS bowl game and win that as well. I think that's our expectation, and we're going to try to go out and set our goal that high and get it done.
What's Kyle Flood done to really build this program and build up you guys? I mean, how does he treat you guys, and what does he say that you keep in mind?
I think just his confidence. He's a confident guy. I don't know if you know him, but he's a very confident guy. He's walking around, always got a little smile, got some swag to him. So I think he can relate to the players. He's a player's coach. I think we love playing for him. And, you know, he's had my back since day one, and you know, I really wouldn't want to play for anybody else.
Talk about the receiving core with Coleman. Who are some of the other guys that, you know, stand out to you as far as competition that you're going to have and the ability to play?
Obviously, Brandon, but, you know, Karan Pratt, Leontay Carew, Wuhan Peel. Those are basically the two main young guys that we're going to have, you know, competing for a spot. And, you know, they redshirted last year. Well, Leontay didn't redshirt, but he got some time with special teams. But just those guys are really going to get their first game action. So I think they're going to be some people that you guys should look out for, and they're going to have a huge impact on our season.
Once again, Gary Nova, the quarterback of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Syracuse fans know him all too well. They will not be facing Gary Nova this season as they're in the ACC. And Gary Nova is with Rutgers, who is for now in the American Athletic Conference. Coming up next here, another team that will be leaving, the Louisville Cardinals, who will join Syracuse in the ACC. Not playing them this season, had just started playing them over the past few seasons, and we'll see them again soon enough in the ACC. But for now, are part of the inaugural season of the American Athletic Conference. And I had a joint interview, a collaborative interview, with linebacker Preston Brown and safety Hakeem Smith from the Louisville Cardinals. You'll hear from them both. And just so you know, voice-wise, Preston Brown is the first person that answers my question. Hakeem Smith coming after him, so that you can know who is answering what question, because it is a collaborative interview. So I wanted to make sure that you have that information. Preston Brown first, Hakeem Smith second, both in the same interview with the Louisville Cardinals as they have their final season of competition in college, as they prepare themselves for the American Athletic Conference and continuing to be on the national stage, which Charlie Strong has helped them to do. The team was picked to finish first for the second year in a row in the preseason polls for the American Athletic Conference. They were picked to finish first in the final season of the Big East Conference last year, and obviously went out and had a nice national showing in that season, 2012-2013. They're looking to do the same 2013-2014 season. And here is Preston Brown and Hakeem Smith. First question being, if they have any feel for the move from the American Athletic Conference to the ACC, though they won't be there because they're seniors, if it means anything to them, or they can give their response about what they think that means for Louisville moving forward. And this is what they had to say.
Well, personally for us too, we're both seniors, so it's our last year, and it's in the conference too, but we know that it's a tough conference. It's still been a very competitive conference over the last couple of years, but we know that it's still going to be a great conference for this last year.
And then what about you, same feeling?
Yeah, same feeling. You know, being seniors, won't be able to get a chance. It's going to be big for the program.
Is there any thought about it for the guys that are coming after you, even though you guys will be out? Is anybody talking about it or anything like that?
Not focused on it this season. You know, we're not really worried about in the future.
And then as far as competition, Louisville not only competing in the Big East and the American now, but you guys on the national stage have done very well. You know, what are your thoughts on that and being able to get back there before you guys leave?
Well, it was great to end the season on a successful win on a national stage, but our focus now is getting through camp, focus on each other, then focus on Ohio as we wind down.
What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it was a big stage. And we've been put on a big platform. You know, we got to be consistent. And you know, we'll do it this season.
And as far as any goals that you guys have, you know, as seniors, is there anything you want to accomplish before you leave?
Basically just doing something that has been done in the program, just setting new goals, you know, accomplishing this season.
And as far as your thoughts on being able to leave with a bang, what do you want before you get out?
Well, we all have our goals that we set before the season, but as I said before, right now we're just focusing on that first game. Like, it's a one-game season, so we'll focus on the first one right now.
The last thing I want to ask you both is, as far as leadership, where's the leadership on your team? Is it spread amongst everybody? Is there somebody that you look at, a certain person that you look to?
Well, of course, on the offensive side, you got Teddy and then also Jake Smith, who lead that side of the ball. Then when I look on the defense, I look at myself, Hakeem, Calvin Pryor, and Marcus Smith handles the D-line. So look, mostly on defense, is spread out by position. Like, that leader handles his position group.
And what about for you as far as leadership?
Can you repeat that?
As far as leadership for you, who do you look to on the team?
I figure, you know, Teddy, he's coming a long way. You know, he's developed so well, leader. And as far as defense, you know, we have all leaders at each position.
And then as far as all the national stuff that Teddy gets, I mean, do you guys ever razz him at all about it? The fact that he's always on that national stage, that they got him sitting down talking about the season all the time. Do you ever say anything to Teddy about that?
Not really. We just happy that he's getting the program some publicity, because we know he'll represent us well.
And then what do you think about Teddy being out on the national stage?
You know, we mess with him sometimes about it, but, you know, he's a humble guy. He could take it.
Linebacker Preston Brown and safety Hakeem Smith once again from the Louisville Cardinals, finishing up their collegiate careers this season as their Louisville Cardinals team stays within what used to have fragments of the Big East. They played in the Big East Conference. Now they're playing in the American Athletic Conference. Louisville will move on, but they will not be a part of that moving forward. Giving their thoughts on the move, though, and also giving their thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater, their quarterback, and more that you just heard. And now you will hear from their head coach, Charlie Strong, who's someone who has worked to get this Louisville Cardinals team to a place of not only conference respect, but national respect. He's had success, and he doesn't look to slow down at any time. First off, in our conversation, we take a look at the fact that Charlie Strong has gone from the Big East Conference to the American Athletic Conference with the ACC on the horizon right after this season, moving over into that conference, and how he, as a head coach, has really taken these changes and how he handles the changes that are coming. And this is what Charlie Strong had to say.
Well, what's great now is that we're going to, you know, we're from the Big East, and now we're in an American, and now we're going to have a chance to go to the ACC. So it just to see just our total development as a program, and not only just football, but all athletic programs, and our athletic director, who had a vision of what he wanted to take this program. But it's just been fun just watching it just all develop right in front of you.
Being on that national level and how you finished last season, what's it meant to you as a coach to really take this program to a place where nationally you are recognized, nationally, you know, you are competing, and it's not just within the conference?
Well, our whole vision when we took over this program is beat a team that college football talks about. And we've been saying it since we've been here. You know, every year those teams come about. Like, who's going to be that team college football talks about? And we wanted this team, this program, to be that program. And now, like I said, we're four years into it. Our first 2 years we were picked last in this conference. And now the previous two we've been picked to win it. So it's just to see how far this program has come, just the leaps and volumes, it's just truly amazing.
you hear about Teddy Bridgewater obviously all the time. What other leaders are on the team that you really look to? I mean, when you're in that locker room and you're trying to rile the guys up to get out there and do what needs to be done, who are some of the other leaders that you look to?
Well, when I look at the defensive side, your middle linebacker's got to be a leader, and it's Preston. Preston's a leader now. You know, Marcus Smith is a Cameron Pryor. You know, but we have so many guys now because we're becoming an older team. So anytime you become an older and a very mature team, then it's easy to get that leadership, and that's why it's been able to develop.
When you look at a team, you know, you have your talented players, obviously, but creating not just a talented player, but a system, you know, having a system where you can take guys out, put them in, and still be successful. How confident are you in a system that you have in the coaching staff that you can take players out that are going to move on to the NFL or finish up their eligibility and still be successful?
Well, we still had to build depth within our program. And if we continue to build depth, then it becomes easy because now that what you like to see is just it just rolls over. So I miss a player, and you know, God forbid I don't get an injury, but if I do, I don't miss a beat. And that's what you want. That's why you got to recruit well. If you recruit well, then you're able to build depth.
And then the future with the ACC and having not just, you know, that conference and the teams that you're going to have, but having the fact that there will be a championship game at the end, is that on your mind at all, that you're going to have that in the future?
No, it's not on my mind right now because I'm just trying to just keep this team focused right now, because I know we're going to step into that conference. There's some really good teams in that conference, so we're going to have to play well.
And as far as, you know, your coaching, what do you want to see out of yourself? I mean, you talked about being picked last, now being picked first. What are you taking from yourself? I mean, how do you challenge yourself every day?
Well, it's all about me maintaining my focus and not losing it, and making sure that I got a football team and I go get prepared to go play each and every day, but a team that go gets better every day, not only on the field, but off the field also.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Charlie Strong, another national power coach trying to continue to get his team on that national stage, has built up Louisville to be a very strong program and was undefeated all the way up into their game at the Carrier Dome last season, where Syracuse got the best of Teddy Bridgewater and the Louisville Cardinals. But Charlie Strong building this program to truly be something of success, where success is something that is expected. And great to sit down with him. Charlie Strong, just a very respectful guy, just spending time just sitting down, and even with other reporters coming in and attempting to kind of interrupt the discussion that we were having, he just looked right at me and until I was done with my questions. So I just really appreciate the eye contact and the respect for what I do as a profession, as I give that back to Charlie Strong and to anybody that I speak with. And it always means a lot when the person that you're talking with says your name back. So to hear Charlie Strong say thank you, Dan, at the end truly means a lot. It's those little things in life that are truly special and matter the most. We'll take a quick step aside here. The final step aside, you'll hear from Carvel DeWitt and Carrie and Daly Physical Therapy. And then when we come back, UConn Huskies head coach and former Syracuse head coach Paul Pasqualoni joins me. And we finish up with the American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresco. Only here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's CareyandDalyPT.com.
I want to give a special thanks to Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, who you just heard from here during the break. Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy with 5 locations in upstate New York, so they can get to you wherever you are across upstate New York, help you out, and find that location that's nearest you so you don't have to drive to just one location. I truly appreciate the fact that they have that. And also 315-652-4323 is their main line to call to figure out which location is best for you and who you're going to see to help you get on your path to hope. That's 315-652-4323. Call them during normal business hours, Monday through Friday. And as I was saying before, I can't thank Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy enough. When I went to them, I was upset. You know, here I am in my 20s. My knee's been hurting for a while from an injury, and it wasn't getting better. I wasn't feeling good. Whenever I was walking, I was always thinking about all the turns I had to make and stiffening my leg up and just really wasn't comfortable. I love playing basketball. I'm the type of person that wants to be athletic throughout my entire life. I want to be the grandfather that can throw the football with his grandchildren. So I needed help. I needed someone to really care about my injury, and I didn't have that before from the majority of the people that I had seen. So, you know, I understand that some of us become jaded because we weren't treated right the first time, but that doesn't mean that Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy doesn't warrant that opportunity. Because I'll be honest with you, if I had judged Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy based on how I was treated before, I'd still have my injury hurting just as much, and I still wouldn't feel good. My body wouldn't be to a place where I'm comfortable. And Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, by giving them that opportunity, the benefit of the doubt, they showed me that they care about you. You're not just a number to them. You're not just money coming into them. You're more than that. Yeah, a business needs money to continue to grow, to sustain itself, but it's the relationships, it's the way you treat people, and I know that from everything that I do. It's the way that you treat people that keeps them coming back. It's the way that you treat people that helps to build your business, to build what you're trying to accomplish. And Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, anybody ask me about a physical therapy place to go, Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy. 315-652-4323. That's the number to call. My knee feels good. I feel strong. I feel healthy. Do I feel 100% all the time? No, because that takes time. But do I feel better than I've felt in years? Yes, I do. The path to hope was created for me by Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy. And the first step on my path to hope was making that phone call. Make your first step. 315-652-4323 and give them the opportunity to help you. 315-652-4323. Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, there for you. Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, where sports meets life. You can also get the show, of course, all the shows on the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora app. And all you have to do is go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Store and search Sports DT. That's SportsDT. And you will get every single show, every Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora episode, all of my exclusive interviews, every episode of Back on the Field, and everything else that is on wakeupcalldt.com. You can have right there on your phone, your iPad, your tablet, at your disposal when you're traveling and you don't have the time to sit down at the laptop or at your desktop. You can go with your phone or with any device that you have, over 2,000 devices with the Sports DT app, and you can get it at the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. If you want to get it quickly, you can go straight to this website, wakeupcalldt.podbean, that's podbean.com/mobile, MOBILE. wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile, and you can get it right from that website, which will lead you to the app as well on your phone, your tablet, your iPad, your iPod, whatever it may be. You can get the Sports DT app immediately and get all your information whenever you need it. It will be right there for you, folks. So make sure that you get on there and get the Sports DT application right after a show's aired. It is saved in archives, so you can go back to any show. That's what I mean by when you need it, it's right there for you. As promised, head coach Paul Pasqualoni of the UConn Huskies is here with me. Also, the former coach of the Syracuse Orange before Greg Robinson, which are the years that Syracuse fans like to forget, before Doug Marrone and Scott Schaefer, who is going into his first season as the head coach of the Syracuse Orange. Paul Pasqualoni talks with me on UConn and Syracuse, but first we start off with talking about the American Athletic Conference, being Syracuse's coach in the Big East, UConn's coach in the Big East, and now UConn's coach in the American Athletic Conference, what he thinks of all of this transition, and as he goes from one conference that he knew with two different teams to a new conference in the American Athletic.
Well, I think I'm very, very impressed with how much has been done in the American Athletic Conference in such a short period of time. I think everything has been done in a real first-class, big leap manner. I don't think you can give the conference office, the leadership there, Mike Oresco, Nick Carparelli, and the entire staff, I don't think you can give them enough credit for what they've done. When you're adding teams like SMU and Houston, you know, with the great tradition in football that they've had in the Southwest Conference back in the day, you don't have to talk to them about how to play football or what football means or tradition. South Florida is outstanding potential. Central Florida can line up and play with about anybody. You know, there is the Naval Academy's coming in, great tradition. I mean, that stadium is unbelievable. So I think we're in really good shape. I feel more stability than I felt in the last 2 years of being around here.
Yeah.
And I think the direction that the whole thing is going is really, really, really good. And I feel good about it.
Has it been, you know, for being a coach as long as you have, has this been kind of the craziest you've ever seen it be when it comes to conference realignment and figuring out what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't be any crazier than it was. And hopefully, you know, it's now settled down and, you know, everybody can put their feet in the ground, sink their teeth into something and, you know, move forward, you know.
And then your experience with Syracuse compared to your experience with UConn, looking back to those days in the Dome, what's the similarity? What's the difference?
There's a lot of similarities. You know, you're working with outstanding young college guys who want to be good. UConn is an outstanding place academically. Syracuse was a good place academically. So you're recruiting kids, and you feel great in your heart that they're going to work at, you know, a degree that's going to be a very meaningful degree at UConn and have an impact on their life. And you're working on making them the best player they can be. So it's the same. I mean, the similarities are, everything is similar.
How is recruiting against Syracuse now in that area and then against the Rutgers and
well,
other teams?
You know, recruiting is always competitive, you know, and you work hard at it, you know. We get our share, they get their share. So, you've got to work hard at recruiting and you've got to convince them that your program is a program where they can develop. And, you know, we're a developmental program. We have a history of that. Anybody can look back on the players that we've had and, you know, not maybe necessarily the most highly recruited guy, but guys that came in and developed into being outstanding players, earned their degrees, and became great football players. Some of them in the NFL, some of them in the Hall of Fame, going to the Hall of Fame. So, I think it's the same thing we offer at UConn.
Say some people have a 3 to 5 year plan, or you know, other people have different years. What's your plan, having 3 years under your belt? You know, what are you envisioning for this developmental program? Where do you want to get to in that time period?
Yeah, you know, this is our second recruiting class, so we're anxious to get these guys in. You know, we expect to improve. My plan is for us to improve. I'm not naive enough to think that this thing happens overnight. You know. I've said it over and over, for 99% of us, it takes time. Greatness doesn't happen overnight. It never does. You know, you build. So we're doing it the right way, with the right type of people, with the right approach. So my expectation is to get better each year.
With Syracuse, how long do you feel like it took, and is it kind of going in that way?
Well,
with you
guys? Syracuse had played Division I football for a long time.
And then last thing, you know, we talked about recruiting a little bit. How confident are you in the state of Connecticut that your talent there? I mean, where does it match up with people around the country?
Well, we're excited about the kids in the state of Connecticut. We're not a big state, but we are excited about the players, the programs, and the job that the high school coaches do in the state of Connecticut. So it's going to vary like it does every year. We're not going to have, based on the population base, the same number of players that New Jersey is going to have, or Texas, or California, Ohio, or Pennsylvania. But there's quality players in Connecticut, and our job is, regardless of how many, get them to come to UConn.
And I know that you had said before that your job isn't to make them ready for the NFL, but to make them the best that you can possibly make them. As a coach where you're at right now, do you feel like your message, your mission statement has stayed pretty fluid throughout, that you've had it from day one to where it is now, or have you grown to a point where you've added a little bit to that mission statement?
No, I think that that's, you know, it's always been what we're trying to do has not changed from the day one. So we're trying to help kids get an education and be the best they can be and do things the right way. That's it.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Once again, that's head coach of the UConn Huskies, Paul Pasqualoni, who was the longtime coach of the Syracuse Orange not too long ago, where they had some success. He had 2 6-6 seasons back-to-back and was let go after that for Greg Robinson into Doug Marrone, who brought the team back to success, getting them to a bowl game twice in his 4 years as the head coach, winning that bowl game, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, and then moving on to the defensive coordinator after Doug Marrone left for the Buffalo Bills in the NFL, and Scott Schaefer has the opportunity to continue success under his name with his leadership moving forward in his staff with offensive coordinator George McDonald, also defensive coordinator Chuck Bulla, Tim Doust, who stays on as now as an assistant head coach, works with special teams, and also, of course, defensive line coach, a job that he was brought up to last season as he got that promotion, continues to be the defensive line coach. Rob Moore stayed as the wide receivers coach, bringing in DeAndre Smith as the running backs coach under Scott Schaefer, and Pat Perlis coming in for the offensive line, and also on the team as one of the coaches. You have Clark Lee as a linebackers coach and quarterback coach Tim Lester. You can hear from the majority of those coaches right now on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. Get your information right there. It's free. Plenty of people have been on, over 36,000 hits. I cannot thank you enough for all the support that you have shown me through every avenue of Dan Satora Broadcast Media, including the YouTube channel Wake Up Call DT. Get on the channel and hear from the coaches going into the season, and also hear from the players, numerous players and coaches there, folks. Let's just put it this way. You'll need to spend a good amount of time to go through each of those interviews. Plenty of things for you to see. Wanted to make sure that you had ample information going into the season, and it's all up there on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. Make sure you check out those videos, and of course, here on the show right now on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com. As promised, Commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, Mike Oresko, joins me for a sit-down conversation you don't want to miss. Mike Oresko has been on the show numerous times, had the opportunity to talk with him when Louisville won the national championship right there on the court down in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Georgia Dome. We had a conversation there, and we spoke for the first time back last year when the Big East had men's basketball media days. Had an opportunity to speak with Mike Oresko there, speak with him once again at that national championship game, as I said, and for the American Athletic Conference as he ushers in the new season for this conference, the first season for this conference. So he was with the Big East, came on to that job, and is now already in his second conference, but with the same group, so to speak, as the Big East takes remnants of itself into the American Athletic Conference and bringing in new talent, new teams from around the country. This is Mike Oresko, a man who is looking to build a new group into something truly special in America, looking to make the American Athletic Conference in its inaugural season one of those premier conferences as he moves forward making these decisions. He's doing something that is not what is asked of many commissioners, and that's take something of old, turn it into something new, brand that, and move forward with that and have some of those teams leave, but bring in talented teams to come in, take the teams that you have in your core, and put together something that people will truly appreciate watching and seeing and have the success that he is hoping for. Mike Oresko and I have had the opportunity to talk about so many different things, and I'm happy to have him back on the show, first and foremost, to talk about seeing the American Athletic Conference in front of his eyes, coming together, having football media days, and being able to truly unveil the logo and see what has been on paper, what he's had in meeting rooms, what all of this work has come to actually have that vision in front of him and what that means as the American Athletic Conference sets forward into their first season of competition.
There's a palpable sense of optimism about what our prospects are, that we think we're a good conference, we've stabilized, we've come a long way, we've accomplished a great deal. I think there's just a sense that we've got a lot of work to do, but that we should be really proud and happy that we're at this point, because in December and January, you know, we went through some tough times, and a lot of people probably didn't think we'd necessarily even, you know, be a viable conference. So we think that right now we have accomplished a lot. I mentioned it in my speech, some of the things we've done. We've put ourselves in a position to be competitive, to be in the conversation. I think our teams feel that we're aligned in terms of football and basketball as a conference. We have a good new name, a good new logo, and I think that there's a real sense of optimism.
When you look at the fact of saying goodbye to Big East football, that had to come to an end and that name is gone, when you move into the American and you take those teams that were still involved, the South Floridas, the UConn, Cincinnati's, what did it mean to you to try and keep some of their tradition, so to speak, or keep some of that Big East alive in what the American Conference is now?
Well, I think, you know, we are the successor to the Big East in football, in terms of the football schools, and I think we've got a long history and tradition, but I think it's more important for us to make sure that we get a fresh start, to make sure that people see us as a group of really good, you know, football and basketball schools that, you know, because of realignment and all, ultimately find ourselves in this situation and wanted to come together to make sure that we're challenging those other five, you know, five guys. And I think we've got the resources, we've got the history, we've got the future schedules to prove what we can do. Then it's up to us. I mean, that's all we want is a chance. But I think in terms of the history of the Big East, there's no question, though, that this conference will be, you know, more balanced. It, you know, the previous Big East, because you had so many schools that played only basketball, was more basketball-centric. And I think that was probably hampered the conference a little bit in football perception, even though it was a BCS conference. You know, there was always controversy about should it be. I think in our case now, we've got maybe a different kind of controversy because people are saying, okay, you got this Power 5 group, you know, you belong in that group. And our feeling is, okay, now we at least know what our goals are. They're aligned. We want to be good in basketball, but we really want to be also very good in football. I mean, we have a bigger footprint in football. I think we have some potential that maybe we didn't have because now we've added UCF in Florida, huge potential, along with USF. We think that the focus now turns a little more to football as it would in a conference like this now. And again, without denigrating basketball at all, because basketball is very important to us, and we have a great brand, and we have five teams that would have been in the tournament if UConn had been eligible. So consequently, I think that, frankly, we've got a real, real opportunity.
Your predecessor having the Big East grow to be 16 basketball schools and have 8 football, did you kind of see this coming into this job, that there was going to be a moment where something was going to give?
You know, I knew there could be some rough sledding. Look, you knew that conference realignment wasn't necessarily over. You know, you take on a job and it's a challenge, and then you don't shy away from it. And I never did. I thought it would be worth doing, and I think it was worth doing. And it was tougher than I thought it would be because, in the end, when it looked like things might be settling down, Rutgers and Louisville, you know, left. And that started a chain reaction, and then you had the Boise-San Diego State situation, and then you also had you know, the Catholic group. You know, you don't necessarily foresee those things. Nobody could. But unfortunately, it was a perfect storm because we were in the middle of a TV negotiation, so that certainly hampered the TV negotiation. You know, there was also a tipping point because the basketball schools had endured one. You know, you had the original BC, Miami, and BC probably hurt even more because it was in the region and was one of the charter members. Then you had Pitt, Syracuse. Then you had Notre Dame when I first joined the conference, which I kind of had an inkling might happen. I wasn't sure, but, you know, I kind of had an inkling. And then what happened later in the fall was not necessarily expected, but it threw a wrench into things. So it made things a lot tougher. And, you know, I think now there is a feeling that things have settled down. You know, you just never know.
When you look at your job and from when you took this on, you know, like you said, you had some inklings about some things. Do you feel like you've been challenged well above what you expected? Do you feel like this is something that was expected, or can you never know what to expect?
Yeah, no, I've been challenged well above what I ever expected because, one, again, you didn't necessarily foresee the Catholic schools deciding that it was time to leave, and that meant that we had a major, you know, rehaul to deal with. We had to get a settlement done that had a lot of moving parts. That was one of the supreme challenges of my career, just trying to get through that. Then we're left with, okay, we've decided to give up the name in exchange for some financial, you know, benefits and rebranding opportunities, but we got to find a name. And boy, that's going to be a challenge because there's a lot of different names you can pick. And, you know, and we ended up, I think, with a very, very good name. You know? Then you got to find a logo that's going to work, you know, a logo that people are going to like. And that's how you brand. That's our brand, that logo, and I think the logo's great. So you're going to have a lot of, you're going to have a lot of stuff there that, frankly, is going to be, you know. And then you've got to quickly find venues for your men's and women's basketball tournament. And then you've got all this money coming in from exit fees and units left behind. How's that going to be divided with the new schools? You now have to integrate new schools into this structure. And you integrate them in a way that you didn't anticipate because they thought they were joining a different conference, a different, you know. So all of a sudden, you find yourself at the center of a perfect storm. In the meantime, you had to get a TV deal done. Without a TV deal, and without a TV deal at a certain level of revenue, and we don't have the revenue we want yet, but there'll be a certain level of revenue. Without that, you can't. As a conference, we might have splintered off. We might not have made it. You know, and that was a hard thing because there was so much instability in December and January. And now I think there's a real feeling that we've got a chance to pull it together. Oh, it was a supreme challenge in that sense because, again, if it had just been a team leaving or two, and you add a few teams. Even if you have to restructure a bit, and even if, but this was a major, you know, overhaul.
Are you happy with the TV deal? Are you happy with what you have moving forward? I know you said that you want to reach a higher ceiling, but with what you have right now and with how the games are going to be telecast, so to speak, are you happy with what you're going to be going with, at least for now, going forward?
Yeah, Dan, I am happy about the exposure. I'm really thrilled with the exposure. I'm excited. We've got great exposure on again, ESPN and CBS in basketball, and we may have, you know, again, a sub-license deal with another network to do some of our games, and it'll be a national network. So I'm very happy about that. The money we're not as happy about because obviously we got caught in that perfect storm. The money we generated wasn't what we thought we would generate. We know we now have to show our value, and we think in the next few years, since we did a shorter term deal, we did a 6-year deal instead of the usual 12 or 15 or whatever, that we'll have a chance to build some value. And once we do, we think our partners will recognize that, and we can perhaps renegotiate and extend out. I think that'll be really critical. So I'm happy with aspects of it. You're never satisfied with certain aspects, but we'll work hard at it.
When you see where the conference is heading, you know, you have Louisville here now, you have Rutgers here now, but you know that one's going to the ACC and the other to the Big Ten, respectively. Does it change anything for you as a commissioner where you welcome them in, but you know you're welcoming somebody into your house that's only going to stay for a night, so to speak, as opposed to someone who's going to stick around for a week or a couple weeks, and you get to show the city too, so to speak?
Yeah, it's more like somebody who's lived in your house and they're leaving, and you know they've only got another 6 months or a year to go. But, you know, the truth is that we are happy to have them. I got great kids. They'll put a wind at our backs in terms of our conference. It'll put our conference more in the conversation. It'll give us another year to get our footing with our new teams. So I think it's not as distracting. If you'd had the Catholic Seven still around and you had a whole group that was leaving and the whole focus would have been on them, that would have been a big difference. But this is, I think, going to be relatively seamless. I really do. And then next year we'll bring in the other three schools and then eventually Navy.
What does it mean to you to still have those schools coming up that you know that you're losing, but like you said, if you lose a couple and you bring a few in to kind of even yourself out, how confident are you in the talent that you're bringing in that this is going to not only sustain you where you are, but to be able to lift you up to another level? Because I know that, you know, your passion for this conference is high.
It is high, and I think if you look at the teams we're bringing in, Tulsa and East Carolina have outstanding football programs, some of the best. Tulsa won Conference USA. They've had success. Tulsa also has an outstanding basketball program that historically, and Danny Manning is there now, so it should get quickly rebuilt. And then bringing in Tulane gives us a lot of potential. A big market, a team that has had success in the past in football, is trying to build both sports. And then Navy coming in 15 is a huge addition for our conference, because the Naval Academy, it's a great thing to have the Naval Academy in our conference. There's no question about it.
You talked about Notre Dame. You brought them up before. Having them be a part of what the Big East was and then now be a part of the ACC and everything but football, are you somebody that agrees that there should be a team out there that can play almost as many games but still not have to be part of a conference? I mean, do you think a team like Notre Dame should eventually have to bond to something, or are you okay with the fact that they can stay out there and make their own?
Yeah, I have no real opinion. I mean, that's their prerogative. It's going to be up to them and whether some conference, whether they can agree to be on a conference. Otherwise, they'll do what they're doing now. I have no real opinion. That's really up to them. It's up to them and whatever conference they're affiliated with.
If a school came to you in the American Athletic Conference, not just Notre Dame, but anybody, and said that they wanted to play and compete with your conference but not necessarily bring their sport into the conference.
Yeah, we would not, we would not be inclined to want to do that. I mean, you never say never on anything, but we would be strongly disinclined to do that. We want to be cohesive. We're happy. We're fine with Navy playing just football. It's a huge addition to our conference. But if somebody wanted to come in like as a Notre Dame did, we would, again, Notre Dame's a unique situation, of course.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't, that kind of model wouldn't be, just as somebody said to me recently, did you want to just bring in a couple of basketball schools? And I said, why would we want to wade into the waters we just waded out of? I just don't know that we would want to do that.
And then looking at, you had brought it up in your address here, to start things off, that as far as, what you're looking at for the future, that there could be that fourth division that you have to think about and be ahead of the game, so to speak. Is that something that's really weighing heavily on your mind? Is it just something in the back of your mind, or,
No, I think it's more in the forefront. I think it's something we have to address. I think it's a concern, as I said. I think if there is a fourth division and we know what it is, we would want to be in it. If it's the highest level, we want to be in it. That's really probably all I can say now. But it's more than it's not in the back of my mind. It's in the forefront.
When you look to the future, do you think that this could be the best thing for college football to establish this other division, or the way that things are, is it something that you'd rather see? I mean, like you said, it's no secret that there is another, but to actually physically make it happen, do you think that's the best thing?
I don't know yet, Dan. I just don't know yet. None of us knows yet. But I know that if it does happen, and when I see what potentially some of the implications are, I just think we would belong in it. But a lot has to be vetted.
The last thing I want to ask you is, when you say we belong in it for the American Athletic Conference, if I had to ask you the mission statement, the values, if you had to define this conference and sell it to somebody right now to get into that division, what would you say the American Athletic Conference is?
I would say the American Athletic Conference is a strong conference that wants to play at the highest level of intercollegiate athletics, has played at that level, will continue to play at that level, and in almost every indicator belongs with the five conferences that call themselves power conferences in that respect. and that we want to compete with them. We want to have the opportunity for our student athletes to compete at that level, and that in terms of all the different measurements, we belong there. That would be, and my goal in 3 to 5 years is to have a vibrant conference that is, you know, succeeding at that level, that is giving, you know, again, our kids the opportunity to play at that level. And we would have far more in common with those conferences than we would with necessarily others.
Mike Oresko, the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, spending some time here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora. And I thank Mike Oresko for being willing to take that time more than once with me to sit down. Truly just, if you want to learn about the American Athletic Conference, what it stands for, what it is right now, what the outlook is, there it is. It's right there in front of you from Mike Oresko. I truly thank him for giving the information that he provided. Just good to get that definition more clearly defined, and who else better than by your commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. So those are all of the exclusive interviews here for you for the American Athletic Conference going into this season. I thank you for tuning in and for listening to everything here. The Annoying Moment of the Week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt, the home of the Wake Up Call Sunday on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, right at the end of Erie Boulevard across from Tops. Also to the Tweet of the Week, congratulations to Isaiah Johnson of the Syracuse Orange football squad. And also to that tweet about Miley Cyrus, just the foam finger, just had to get that information out there to you about this foam finger and just how strange that Miley Cyrus performance was, and just that foam finger, it'll never be the same to me again. I gotta go to a game and see people actually with the foam finger, treating it with some respect, and maybe I could feel better about things. But Jessica Halloran, who's at Jesse Halloran, JessiHalloran, she's the one that tagged the story about the creator of the foam finger that I read those quotes from to you. So I have to give her credit for the Tweet of the Week. So congratulations to Isaiah Johnson and Jesse Halloran for both winning my Tweet of the Week here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. And, of course, a special thanks to Antonio Foster and Charles Harris of the Memphis Tigers. Also giving thanks to Gary Nova of Rutgers, and to Preston Brown and Hakeem Smith of Louisville, along with their head coach, Charlie Strong, head coach of UConn, Paul Pasqualoni, and the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, that being Mike Oresko. A thanks to all of you for being on the show and allowing me an opportunity to talk with you exclusively. I truly appreciate it and cannot thank you enough for that. Also want to give a special thanks to FanHands.com, the number one fan accessory. Maybe this will help me get over the foam finger. FanHands, the way to make your clap louder. It enhances the fan experience by enhancing your clap. You want to be loud when you're at a game. You want to enjoy that experience in a special way. And what better way to do it than getting your favorite pair of fan hands, picking your team color, putting on those fan hands, and clapping loud to show support for the team that you love, for the player that you love. What a way to do it with fan hands. And you can not only get your pair of fan hands for yourself, but you can help out the community in doing so. Hurricane Sandy victims need your support. On fan hands page here on WakeUpCallDT.com, which is the fan corner page, you could get over to the fan corner page of WakeUpCallDT.com and find out how buying a pair of fan hands can give back to the community and give to the victims of Hurricane Sandy that are still working to get their lives back to a comfortable, relaxing spot, help relieve some of their stress, help get them back to a place where they are comfortable and relaxed and able to not have to worry about so many things just by making a simple purchase of fan hands, which will get you your number one fan accessory and will get them money to the people that deserve it, to the people that need it, to the people who are not getting helped in the best way possible. Make sure that you go to the fan corner page of WakeUpCallDT.com and get your pair of fan hands. Follow those instructions, and 10% of every single purchase will go to the Hurricane Sandy victims. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for getting your pair of fan hands, because I think it's a great opportunity. I gave some away at the live event. See, this is why you need to be at live events. Giveaways, special guests, a lot going on. gave away fan hands there. So people in the stands at the Carrier Dome will have their orange fan hands this season. You can get your pair right now by going to fanhands.com. Also want to thank Dry Sig Apparel, who offers you the opportunity, whether you're a person that's on a team somewhere, whatever sport you play, wherever you're at, be it peewee football or organized soccer, YMCA, a travel team, high school team, whatever it may be, if you're looking to dress well, to look good when you're out there on the field, on the court, wherever it may be, on the track, you need to get yourself to Dry Sig's website. You can get there on wakeupcalldt.com's homepage, drysigathletic.com. That's DreissIg athletic.com. Make sure you go there, and you could check out what I have. You could see the jersey on the Twitter page, at CallDT. That's at CallDT, and just see what type of work they do by seeing the jersey that they provided for Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora that I can't thank Mark Jones enough for. Mark Jones, the creator, and played in the SEC for Tennessee, overseas in Germany as a running back. So Mark Jones, a jack of all trades, so to speak, a mark of all trades, I should say. Make sure you check out drysigathletic.com. And for the ladies out there, drysiglady.com. That's DreissIg lady.com for the clothes that fit any woman. A Dreissig lady is any lady, no matter what walk of life, businesswoman, stay-at-home mom, somebody that's going out there, a student that's going to classes, student athlete, whoever it may be. When it comes to fitting a lady well, the Dreissig Lady line makes you all feel comfortable. Make sure you go to DreissigLady.com, and that bamboo line, very comfortable fit. Just relax. You know, lines like that make you envy women sometimes, just how relaxing your clothes are. So my fiance always has just relaxing, beautiful clothes, and well, she's a beautiful woman, so To Kate, shameless plug to you. You're beautiful, you're wonderful, and so happy to be marrying you coming up in 2014. And to all you ladies out there, the Dreissig Lady line, make sure you check that out and get that relaxed, comfortable fit. Had to throw you in there, Kate. I know that she'll appreciate that. So always thinking about her. And also want to give a special thanks to Moe's Southwest Grill for the Mo Money No Problems giveaways that we do on Facebook, and to Toby Keats that was so generous, so kind, so wonderful to give us the VIP experience for the live draft parties for the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge. So thank you to Joey Khalil over at Toby Keith's. God bless you, and thank you for everything that you do. God bless you all. Talk to you very, very soon. This is Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, and it's only on wakeupcalldt.com and on that Sports DT application, and, of course, on iTunes, Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora. Dan Tatora Broadcast Media, where sports meets life, bringing you comedy, sports, music, so many different things. You never know what you're going to get, except for the fact that it will be exclusive, it will be original, it will always be worth it. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you very soon.